Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And thank you once again. And everybody out there, it's hope everybody's having a pleasant day. And of course, that intro song was, of course, the incorporation of the illustrious song called "Blind" from Masonic Temple, my dear friends down from Australia. That's of course from their album "Follow Me," and you can always check out their music and at myspace.com/mastem. Do check them out. And you know, there I got a lot of things, a couple things to say, but you know, it's interesting how things have certain reasons for having for to come into being. And I was going to have a prior guest on, and unfortunately a while ago, and we had to reschedule. And then I came in tune with this my guest I'm about to have on, which is pretty. I think everything has a perfect timing, and it's interesting because. In fact, I was with some friends of mine yesterday, and I always find it fascinating when you're talking with people. They tend to be great talkers, but a lot of people have a problem of being listeners. They're always anticipating to say something, thinking what's on their mind about saying something as opposed to listening into the subject. And it almost forms like an ADD amongst the crowd, and I know that really quite common amongst a lot of people, and it's sort of funny. It's actually sort of sad because people tend to only want to listen to themselves rather than to listen to other things, which really relates to my guest that's going to come up about certain things that unfolded when I saw his movie. And by the way, everyone out there, just so you don't know, it's Andrew Fetter, of course. And I also want to thank you all for listening to my show here at When Pigs Fly. Now, my guest I have on here, his name is Brian Allen. He is from the United Kingdom. He is an esteemed researcher, a very distinguished one at that. He is an author and has a plethora of books, which I've posted on the posting there. I mean, there's numerous books and stuff, and he has a recent movie that he just came out called Ancient Code. The Ancient Code, and by the way, you can check that. I know I didn't put up a link on there because I wasn't aware of it until after I saw the movie, but do go check it out at www.ancientcode.com, and I'm sure my guests will reiterate that. And without further ado, I want to thank Brian Allen, coming on my show, and are you still there, Brian?
Yes, good to see you, Andrew. I'm looking forward to it, too.
You know, looking at, so my guests, my audience out there, you know, has an understanding of where you come from and what your background is, because the first thing that comes to mind, everyone's, who the hell are you, you know? So can you tell me, you know, sort of natural, you know, unless, you know, it's not a character or anything. We may think you're Prince Charles or something. But tell me a little bit about yourself and, you know, I mean, it seems like you've been doing this stuff forever. Almost like it sounds like a professor, to tell you the truth. What's your background and how did you get involved with all your research?
No, okay. Well, I'm 65 just now, and I guess for the past 50 years, I've been interested in the occult, the paranormal, and anything that was unusual, if you like, or anomalous. And in that time, I've been a hands-on investigator of paranormal phenomena in all its forms. I can rightly say I've written quite a few books now. I've done a few scripts for different programs. I've done a specific study into magic and the properties of magic. And I guess the latest thing that I came out with was I was invited to actually participate in a program or a DVD called The Roslyn Frequency. And while I was doing The Roslyn Frequency, the guy who actually produced it and directed it, a guy called Phil Gardner, he actually used some of the material that I had used in this Rossford Frequency DVD as part of the Ancient Code. And it turned out that when I saw the Ancient Code, the first time I actually got a chance to view it, it turned out that it pays actually two or three viewings, because there's more going on in that movie than you first think. It operates on a lot of levels. Even the music is highly significant, and the subject matter even more so. In fact, it was an absolutely fascinating project. And if your listeners take a chance and have the opportunity to look at ancientcode.com, they'll find it's one of the most fascinating sites out there on the net just now, I think. It's one of the most beautiful to look at and beautiful to listen to, and it would really be worth our while to take a look at this. But really, the Ancient Code as a project is something that I've taken it into myself now, and I think I see the world in a slightly different way, and I know that sounds a bit glib and a bit easy to say, but it is true. Once you accept the Ancient Code as real, it gives you a chance to actually evaluate what is around you, and it does make a difference.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because when first somebody thinks of Ancient Code, you know, when you say it, it sounds like, you know, it's something out there that you got to find. It's like some, like in your the book, the vessel that of like you know, the you know, some chalice or whatever, something's very special. I don't want to get into it, but you know, they make it sort of like something out there to find. And what I found so interesting is within your movie, actually. And you talked about like a lot of the religion, corresponding a lot of religions, specifically like in Christianity. You always mention, get back to agnostic Christianity, but how most of the origins of people looking outside rather than in and finding what the real code was and what is the real ancient code, which is really interesting, because from my finding, I see, and you'll obviously in any minute start explaining what that is, but I see a commonality amongst even within Judaism, agnostic Christianity, not modern Christianity, but the one that Jesus really had done. The Summas of Islam, Taoism, Native American spirituality, and they all have the dogma of what's the real ancient code, and yet people are diverted from a different thing, and you bring a really highlight. And it's not like they're not just the first one. It's like a lot of different people I hear and have had on my shows, and people have heard my shows, have corresponded to what you're elaborating. But I like how in your movie you did it in such an elegant way that you did it so that you didn't have to be, you know, some philosophical professor, or you don't talk over people's heads in doing so. So can you explain to everybody out there, because they're going, what the hell are you talking about, Andy, about ancient code?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what the ancient code actually is?
Okay. Okay. The ancient code ties, in my opinion, it ties directly into 2012 and what 2012 is actually going to be about. Now, 2012, as you know, is mentioned by the Egyptians, the Kabbalists, the Dogon tribe in Africa, and there are many of the Native American groups actually quote and mention the 2012. Even Edgar Casey prophesied a great change shortly after 2000. But it was the Mayans in particular who saw it as the end of a great cycle of events. Now, according to the Mayans, this cycle began in 3114 BC, and it ends quite precisely on the 21st of December 2012. Now, the consensus is a great change, and it's been suggested that it's going to be a reversal of the Earth's magnetic field, which has happened before, but it's not going to be the end of humanity. Now, personally, I think
what's it going to happen with humanity? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the end of humanity. All it is a change, a great change. But what I think is going to happen, in fact, it might even be happening now, or the precursors have started happening. What I think is going to happen is this, is that the ancient code, which is inside, it's inside you, it's inside me, it's inside everybody on this planet, every single person on this planet. It has the ancient code inside them. Mm-hmm. It's what wrote the DNA codes that make us human beings. It comes before DNA. The ancient code is what wrote the DNA sequence, quite frankly. And I think what's happening is this, that we, for millennia, stopped evolving. We stopped evolving because we didn't have to evolve anymore. But I think the planet has gotten to such a state with the way we've treated it that the ancient code sees this and recognizes it. And I think the ancient code is going to start us evolving again. We're going to evolve into something not necessarily better, but something that's going to be able to live with the planet in the condition that it's in. So basically, this is not going to be pleasant, and it's not going to be easy.
Is it basically like a retunement? Because from both, I've heard that, you know, many times, like, because there's a changing right now of our electromagnetic in the physical sense, electromagnetic energy is shifting, and that's the real reason why we're having global warming. It's because our whole this whole solar system is actually heating up. But it's also, they talked about what you're talking about, the polar shift. The Hopis talk about it, but physiologically, in our DNA, and it's sort of funny you say it, because I've even heard from the Rayals, in Kabbalism, and I Ching, they all talk about the same thing of something, the rechanging of the codes of the thing that's within us. But I think the most divine thing that most people are coming to have to face, which I find, which was really well presented in your movie, was humanity has separated themselves from the universe and nature, and they've in trying to be so separated, they've actually caused themselves to be a cancer within the universe, basically, because they've, and that's been the symptoms of hatred, division, fear, and now that the universe seems to always make a evolution shift, and like what I saw within your movie, was to push us back into that mode, and there's going to be basically, people are going to have choices, you know, to go with the wave and absorb that, and go back and reconnect and re-listen and connect to, you know, the universe and Earth, and that's called the feminism in some religions. That's actually, by the way, the word Kabbalah literally means. It means to receive, the receiving end, or also in the Taoist, the same thing, the yin and yang, the collection of both sides, which I know you'll get into. But it seems like people are, and I've noticed when I start talking to people about what you're thinking about, you're in your movie, that there's people accepting it and embracing it. People totally freaking out from it and run to fear patterns. And then those people, there's other people who will just be crazy, you know, go nuts trying to deal with it. So, what is your feeling that, you know, in response to how people are? Because it seems, because that's what the Hopis even say, there's going to be people going, taking their choices on accepting the energy shifts or going against them.
Well, the thing is, Andrew, that, beg your pardon, is that people today, in order to reconnect with the code, are going to have to get aware of what's actually happening to them and what they're doing. They're going to have to cast off, if you like, what you might call the false gods. Now, these false gods are either the church or the state or Hollywood-inspired, and they have to find themselves. And this is no clearer example of this than the cult of celebrity. Now, people, rightly or wrongly, tend to assume that celebrities have intelligence and are trendsetters and so forth, and they're utterly wrong, because these celebrities that they have made into their gods are too self-obsessed, they're too isolated, they're too cynical, they're too shallow, and frequently too stupid to know the truth. But the trouble is this, that position and wealth and privilege do not equate with knowledge. And we've reached into a really sad, sad situation where to be poor is to be a failure, and to be wealthy is to be successful. And the two are not necessarily correct, because...
But don't you think that it's also the way people view things? I think people view things in a way of being looking at things in a finite perspective, and that's probably the biggest problem. In fact, that's what like most organized religions have pulled away from their original dogmas and went toward a finite approach at looking things, and by doing which is actually an illusion. And then I'll get into later with you, but and that's how they even approached originally science until actually things have changed in the physics and quantum physics world, showing that it's gone full circle. But into the shamanism, but it seems like that's the biggest problem. It's like they're looking at things finitely, which leads to what you're talking about as looking at the new gods of money, the new gods of materialism, the new gods of, but that's been going on for, you know, since the days of Greco-Roman periods or even before. You know
if I could just give an example for your listeners to sort of tune into a little bit, that there is one of the items that is featured quite prominently in the film The Ancient Code, and it's a ritual. Well, if I'm saying it's a ritual, it could be looked at as a dance, it could be looked at as a ceremony. It's something called the Horn Dance, which is held in one of the counties in southern England. And it's held in a place, a little village called Abbots Bromley. Now, I'll elaborate on this a little bit. This ceremony or dance or ritual or festival, whatever you want to call it, it dates from around the 12th century. I mean, it's been going a long, long time. And in it, they use sets of antlers, which date from the 11th century. So these things have been around a long, long time. They've been carved and dated in the great back of the 11th century. Now, this is connected directly to pre-Christian pagan times and the worship of the sun god Baal, or Bel. And it's also dedicated to characters like Herne the Hunter and also the Green Man, who is a traditional god-man, an essence of nature, of fertility, and of death and rebirth. Now, the thing is that these, the people who are actually carrying out this dance or this ritual, because it's very, very difficult, and I think when if your listeners actually buy this and look at it, they'll see what I'm talking about. The people who carry out this dance are often not aware of what the significance of it is they're actually doing. All they're doing is going through a set of steps and maneuvers and taking up positions because the fathers did it before them and the fathers before them and so on and so on, back to the 12th century.
So they don't realize the significance. Like they're doing the mechanics of it, but they don't realize the
significance.
But you know what? It's funny you say that because, like I studied for like almost 30 years Kabbalism, and when I talk to people, even in Christians, when they pray and stuff, they don't have no clue why they say Amen at the end of a prayer. And then the numerological significance is why they do certain things so many times a day, or counting rosaries, and I mean, there's a reason why those are all functional things that have corresponded, you know. And then, I mean, even in Islam, if Muslim friends, know why they pray three times a day, or you know,
they it's actually five times a day, Andrew.
Five times a day. I'm thinking Druze too. Druze and Jews, they do three times, Muslims five times. But, they don't really, there's a significant reason why they do all these little mechanical things, and then they do the mechanical things not realizing, you know, why they're doing them. You know, they think they're going to pray, they just look at the mechanics of it rather than they don't realize they're actually manifesting stuff. Basically what you're saying.
It's like you were saying, I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but when people say Amen at the end of a prayer, my understanding of it is that this comes from Amun, as in Amun Ra, which is actually a celebration of the sun god. And these things have been lost in the midst of Christianity, especially Christianity.
Actually, Amun literally means to believe. It comes from the word truth. It comes from the word truth, emet, amen, and it's to believe. And what it really signifies is to everyone has their vision of what truth is, their view of truth. So therefore, the truth is just what you believe is true. And
I think we'll maybe agree to differ on that one, Andrew, because my interpretation of amen came from Amun as in Amun Ra. But I suppose it depends where you get your information.
Yeah, actually, the reason because in Hebrew it works off of verbiage, And it, which I had, in fact, if you talk about that, there was like a, there's a mixture of, if you talk, which was really significant is, the Sumerians, which is where a lot of the Jews got originally got a lot of, well, I don't say Jews, technically it was Hebrews, got significant ideas. And then when there was a merger, when Joseph went to Egypt and he became the advisor, there was a mixture between Judaism of that time and ancient Greek, and that's how they had the mixture between a lot of aesthetics went back and forth. The Jews picked up their written language, transposed to them, and then a lot of the ideologies of Judaism, which originally formulated from some of the Sumerian ideologies, got into Egypt. And so you have that quasi-crossing back and forth. But the little word from Amen, like I said, in I'm looking from the Kabbalistical way, too, is that it means from to believe in truth. Like, it comes from the thing of the tree of life, that we're all have our different views. And that's where actually, literally, it came from the in Kabbalism. They say it, and in fact, it's in the book of Raziel that talks about that, and also in Zohar. But anyway, go ahead, sorry. I'm going on my thing.
That's quite okay. Absolutely fine. It's just another thing, since we bring up the subject of religion in relation to this, and it's just to assure your listeners that the ancient code has got nothing to do with religion. It's not a sect. It's not a cult.
Right.
It's actually what they it's what they are. It's what you are the ancient code. As I said, the ancient code wrote your DNA patterns. It wrote your DNA spirals. And really, that if you think about it, the conventional religions that we have nowadays, the monotheistic faiths of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, I mean, they're all far too young. Because basically, I mean, let's face it, well, Islam's about 1,500 years old, Christianity is about 2,000 years old, and Judaism, I guess, is about 2,500 to 3,000 years old. So in the time period since the world began, since the planet began, I mean, you're talking in billions of years. So really, religion, as we know it and celebrate it now, is only a flash in the pan. It's a blink of an eye. So really, these belief systems, I don't think have any validity in terms of the ancient code. But that's not to say that some belief systems didn't sort of take it on board. Particularly the Eastern belief systems that believe that we are all one with the universe. We are at one with the universe because fundamentally, we are at one with the universe, and the ancient code is at one with the universe also, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because in the beginning of time, at the Big Bang, we were all part of a single unit. We were all part of a single system, okay? Because mm-hmm. at the time of the Big Bang, there was a singularity, which is something about the size of a grain of talcum powder. Now, the universe at that time was the size of a grain of talcum powder. There was absolutely nothing. There was no space-time. There wasn't even the space that the universe expanded into. But so at that time, we were all part of a single system. Then it just went boom, and you had this shrieking blast of a cataclysmic energy just exploded out of the way, and it created the universe as we know it just now. So
yeah.
Everything in the universe, including you and me,
yeah, Brian, but I have to differ on you on what you said about on the monotheic religions, because I think in the fundamentals of, and I know in Judaism and Islam and agnostic Christianity, they have the fundamental belief of the Ein Sof of God and us being together with the universe, because that's the fundamentals of what one God is. But I think what you pointed out, though, in your movie, which is what I picked up, was the separation, that the dogmas, instead of going by what they really originally were, like even the rabbis, the priests, the ministers of today, or even the mullahs, that pulled out, which is I like to separate the two, is they've turned it into the more of the masculine, what they call the masculine side, where there's separating us from the universe, from God, that God is a separate entity that we have to pray to, and that the ancient code or the thing is separate from us. But when you get down to the foundations of everything, which is interesting, you brought up in your movie, which is funny, is I always forget how to say it. It's the thing that it's in Book of Thomas that Jesus had said, and this is the agnostic way of looking at it, which is You know, if you can't find it, I forget how to say it. You probably know how to say it better than me. if you lose it, you'll die, you know that, which is talking about the ancient code.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing was that it was interesting you brought up about the Eastern religions is people think that, like you said, Judaism came out, about 3,000 years?
Roughly,
and then,
yeah.
And then Christianity 2,000 and 1,800 or whatever it was, or less, and Islam. And yet, Taoism was like when the Western world was just trying to figure out how to, make bronze. That's when they're already dealing with in the Eastern world of the universe as togetherness. But you know, curiosity, and I don't want to get distracted from what you said in the movie. I know there was a significance of the Sumerians, though, of having knowledge of presenting. Elements of the code found within you, because there's a lot of talk of that I know from researchers. Do you know anything about that?
Well, all I can really do is reiterate what I've already said, that the ancient code is in you, and there are particles dating right back from the Big Bang when the universe was created about 40 or 50 billion years ago, that
mm-hmm.
those particles are inside you. And this is why, in some cases, people can actually resonate with one another. Now, it's what the Vedic cultures called cosmic consciousness, I can't remember the actual name, it's just gone. But Atman, that's the concept, Atman. And this is all about cosmic consciousness. Now, they got it right, and in fact, the Vedic cultures seem to have recognized the Big Bang even before Western science could even conceive of the project. Because according to the Vedic principles, they call the expansion and contraction of the universe, they call it God breathing. God breathes in, God breathes out. So you get the big crunch, which is God breathing in, and the big bang, which is God breathing out. Now, their religious texts or sacred texts talk about this and recognize it. And this is thousands and thousands of years ago before there was any possibility of any scientist operating under any of the monotheistic faiths actually realizing this. So this is why I think that the Eastern belief systems have been right from the word go, and that the Western belief systems got it consistently wrong and still get it consistently wrong.
Well, I think it's what the Western beliefs was originally done in its foundation correct. I think what happened was, like I said, it was purposely manipulated around for people's own interests. It was to separate, the people who realize they can manipulate and control people by use of their spirituality, so they changed what was the truth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can find it within all the Western religions is basically what they did. I mean, the only reason why Constantine created what's now today Christianity is basically to control the mass. I mean, he point blank said it. But it's interesting that you brought that up, because there's a book I've been reading. In fact, I'm meeting with the Hopis and Native Americans. I have a major project I'm meeting with them on a spiritual basis. And it's funny you brought up about, without knowing science, how they all know this stuff. And the Hopis had this theology. And if you read how the world was talked, they talk about what you're talking about, the bang, but it was major, which I could not believe how they knew it. They wrote about how the polarity shifts way back when and how the ice ages were created. I mean, and that we know science today happened to Earth way back then, but they knew it and they wrote about it and they spoke about it in their own things way before anybody knew about it in the sciences. I mean, which is amazing. Well, how would they know that? And it's like what you're saying. We have all this information in us that's already been inside of us. We're constantly looking outside for it, but it's always been inside of us. And that's why I found fascinating. So people ask what the ancient code is, and they're running around trying to find the special chalice of Jesus, and it's really within all of us, which is, which I found, fascinating. And people still today, I mean, friends of mine run around, whether it's to get a gig, to shoot a shoot, or make a movie, or, do a music thing. They're always chasing things outside, and you know, or chasing to make more money, or worrying about this house or that house, and they actually don't have a clue. They're running around like chickens with their heads instead of looking from what's the real thing, which is the information that which is within them, and how we're all one consciousness and one, you know, one universe. Which is, by the way, I was fascinated watching your movie that you talked about how science has got diverted from what it was. But I don't know how much lately, because I keep up really up to date a lot of the quantum physics and stuff like that. And it's funny how they have gone now, and they haven't really talked about most in mainstream, but they've gone actually full circle and realized that all the stuff that you're talking about now, they've already proven now within their own scientific world, within quantum physics now, looking at the universe, that we're all one universe, looking at us that they realize we have a resonance of one consciousness. They realize that thoughts are things, that we can amplify our thoughts are actually not just thoughts, they actually create wavelengths. They're our speeches, the way we move around on Earth, the pulsating effects on Earth itself. I mean, it's so funny that while I watched your movie, how here we are thousands of years going finding all to the sciences, and then we're going full circle back to realize, wait, way back then, before there was even science, showing that we already knew all this stuff, you know? And it's sort of funny how we're going all full circle. But didn't you, I don't know how much you're aware of the new relationship, but what do you think about that stuff?
Well, as far as the relationship between what we would call the paranormal and quantum physics, it was, I guess, about 10, 15 years ago when I was looking around for some sort of explanation for some of the stuff that I'd seen, because bear in mind, and perhaps your listeners should be aware of this too, that my research was not gained and not done just from reading books and looking at other people's achievements. My research was done through going out in the field and doing it for myself and actually investigating cases of alleged poltergeist infestations, of hauntings, of attended exorcisms. I've actually seen it actually happening. I've seen this stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that I've seen, spontaneous movement of items getting flung around, things appearing, things disappearing, smells, touches, all sorts of stuff going on. This, at first, I didn't know what to make of it, and scientifically I couldn't explain it until I came across the concepts of quantum physics, of theoretical physics. And the things that happen at the quantum level bear no relation to what happens at the Newtonian level, because the Newtonian universe is one of cause and effect, and the one of the quantum universe is entirely different. It's as you say, in the quantum universe, thoughts have power, that thoughts can actually change things. And they've actually got a term for it in quantum physics. It's called the observer effect, that people who are actually participating in a quantum experiment can actually affect the outcome.
Right.
If, for example, four people were involved in an experiment, and one was convinced that the experiment wouldn't work, it wouldn't work. Simple as that. Now, I can demonstrate this, if I may. The U.S. Department of Mines, a few years ago, they came up with an experiment that was more or less proving that a watched pot doesn't boil. And what they did was, they managed to separate out beryllium atoms. I think it was around 500 beryllium atoms. Don't ask me how they counted them, but anyway. They reckoned they'd got 500 beryllium atoms, and they encased them in a pot. And in this case, the pot was a magnetic field, a magnetic bottle. And they applied microwaves to this to heat it. Now, the actual watching effect came from a laser beam which was flicked on onto this magnetic bottle, if you like. Now, every time the atoms were being watched, the laser beam was on. When they weren't watched, the laser beam was off. And they found it consistently that every time, when they didn't use the laser beam to watch them, the atoms heated up quicker. Whenever they used the laser beam to watch them, they took longer to heat up. Now, if anything, the laser beam should have added heat to the equation, but it didn't. It seemed to slow down the heating process, which seems to suggest that at some very basic, some very fundamental level, that the atoms have some sort of very vague intelligence or some sort of sentience. So, as you were saying, at the quantum level, things are entirely different. As you say, thoughts have definite power at the quantum level. And that is, I think, how magic works, because when we're dealing with ancient code and things like these traditional and ancient dances, like the horn dance in Abbots Bromley, and Morris dancing is another example of this, which is carried out throughout England also, that these people were actually carrying out ceremonies that at one time, I believe, had genuine power. They genuinely invoked things or entities that could affect how the harvest turned out and could affect how people felt. And I don't think that it was just a psychosomatic feeling of being better either. I think this was a very real thing. Now, it's rather like the concept of magic in general, that I believe that at one time magic actually worked and was a type of technology.
It's funny you said that, because actually there's a book called, like I had mentioned before, called the Book of Raziel. It's an ancient book, Kabbalistic book, is said to be passed down, according to the book, it's been passed down from the time of Adam or whatever, from the very beginning through Abraham. But in it is divulged that how they used to actually do their sequence of utterances they would say in prayers, and for each harvest to create their harvest to be, and they had like they mentioned the three seasons, by the way, the three zodiacs are from there. Or actually the 12 zodiac signs, but they mentioned three seasons, and then one is the harvest. And they actually specifically go into what you're talking about, where it goes into certain things to create, to manifest a good harvest and create an abundance, and how they were able to do that. If they did it correctly, they would have all these things there. And it's almost like what you're saying. But I was also elaborating before when you were talking about the quantum physics, not to get to divert back into what you had said. I just thought it was sort of funny how we have gone full circle in your movie, presenting where the how we're all connected and within, and finding the secret code within us. It's sort of funny how in quantum physics and in science and specifics, we've gone from being so analytical, the finite, full circle into the infinite, and back. It's turning backwards, showing, oh yeah, you know what, the shamans were right. That's what I thought was sort of funny, that we're now going full circle at this particular time, and then it corresponds to the shifts of the Earth and the shifting patterns within our solar system, and the thing of the 2012 and the electromagnetic changes, and the everything, it seems like, to come in. It's a full circle. I mean, it's all coming together into a pattern, which is, I find, finding unique, and it's sort of outlaid in your movie, which I thought was pretty significant. But what do you feel about when certain people, because what you brought in there was very interesting, because, which I thought was really important, because people think it's kumbaya for everybody or devastation for others. Either it's revelations, the end of the world is gone, the end of days, some people project. Then there's other ones that say, oh, it's kumbaya, the world's going to be one great heaven, da-da-da-da. But then what I liked, what you presented, it isn't. It's about choice and about choosing.
Yes, well, it is about choice. I mean, the only thing that bothers, I'll be honest now, Andrew, absolutely honest with you, that the only thing that bothers
me. You mean you weren't honest with me before?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just joking here.
No, it's funny when people say that. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. The thing that really bothers me about all this, particularly 2012, if you can remember the hysteria that went on when the millennium was due, when 2000 came in, the media jumped all over this, the hyped everything up, they said this, they said that, they said the next thing. They were promoting groups like conservative Christians who went to Israel with the intent of bringing about Armageddon, and I mean there were all sorts of crazy things went on. But
yeah.
The thing is about 2012. If you think, I don't know if you recall when they started the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, which obviously they've had to shut down again because of problems with it. But at that time, the media jumped on the bandwagon. They were saying, oh, there's going to be black holes created. Oh, the Earth's going to be destroyed. Oh, woe is us. And I think people actually killed themselves because they got so upset. about what was going to happen when this Large Hadron Collider switched on. So they killed themselves for nothing. They committed suicide because the media whipped up a storm. Now, when 2012 comes around in a couple of years' time, now you can guarantee, as sure as eggs is eggs, there's going to be a media storm going to get up, and they're going to get every wacko, every clown from crawling out from underneath the stones is going to come out, and they're going to be prophesying all sorts of death and damnation and hellfire and all the rest of it. So I guarantee you there'll be multiple suicides before this happens, and it's such a sad thing because there's no need for it. And because all that's going to happen is there's going to be a change, nothing else. The earth isn't going to stop. People are going to wake up the following day. The earth is going to be there. Nothing's going to collapse, but the change will have started. And as I say, it won't be pleasant, but it'll be survivable. And people are going to come out of it at the end of it. They're going to come out as better beings. But like I say, the ancient code, in my opinion, is starting to rewrite your DNA to make you survive on the earth as it's going to be.
So you're saying, like, basically it's going to affect our DNA to in order to adjust to the level, to so we can, how you say, to so that we can be almost like a modification. Let's see, what's the best word? Not an evolution. What's the word? It sprung out of my mind. You know, instead of evolving to your surrounding, mutating. So we basically are going to be mutating to our environment, basically on a major scale. Basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, it's actually interesting that earlier on you used the term of Holy Grail, because Holy Grail is actually mentioned in the ancient code. Now, most people, as you can imagine, have been sold on the concept that the Holy Grail was the cup used at the Last Supper. It was the cup used by Joseph of Arimathea to collect Christ's blood
And then they have the disinformation about the next thing comes out, the Da Vinci Code, which now says, you know, it's a really the lineage of Jesus, and which he was, Mary Magdalene, which is, I mean, that was sort of, you know, they got diverted from what that really the Holy Grail was, which is sort of funny you brought that up, because in Hebrew they call it, in the Kabbalah they call it the Shekhinah, you know, that's the Holy Grail. In Shekhinah. And you know what's so funny about that? You'll never ever hear a rabbi or a modern Orthodox tell that to the average. By the way, in Kabbalism, it's always they try to make it like it's so separate and so secret and so, because it's the true foundations and stuff. But they don't want to talk about the phenom inside, which is actually the receiving end, which is what you're talking about, the holy, which is the real Holy Grail, which is the Shekhinah, which just recently now some people they start realizing. But yeah, it's funny how you, and here it is, media did a whole spin-off and diverting from what it really is. And, you know, and you just mentioned, it was funny that you said about 2012 being the scare thing. It's like now, which I think there's an extraterrestrial connection with a lot of stuff. And now you'll see how, like, now they've come out with that movie, I think, District 9, the Scare Us, the Aliens. There's now a movie, it hasn't come out yet, but I saw trailers of it, and they're trying to make 2012 all the scary events that the world's coming
an
end. And it's sort of funny that you said that. It was almost like all these things now, you know, and if you watch the media now, they're watching all these hurricanes and all these events. And I've heard these Christian who are reborn Christians who are talking about the revelations. How they're all you know, about the horsemen. There's all this illness. So they're saying, I forgot the revelation of how they talk about you know, there's some horseman knight comes and he's bringing death of some ailment. So they're saying, it's the swine flu. And then the other one, it's the hurricanes. And then, you know, they're always bringing some revelations to bring in this fear factor, which to me is always the, you know, a manipulation from keeping humanity from finding their true soul, which is within the ancient code, which is what you divulged in your movie, very explicitly within each other, of us. By the way, what was that thing that Jesus said? And so the listeners know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you know the exact words, how it goes, where you find it, you'll lose it. You know, the thing that's in Gospel of Thomas?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I know exactly what you're talking about, and I can't remember how it goes.
so you're like me. But it's weird how you come, you know, everything has a certain reason. You've done all this research, and you come to gather into what you're doing, and I find it fascinating because I went doing the full circle in a way, doing a lot of stuff and research for like over 20 years, and from being at one time very religious and in the mechanical aspects like you talked about one time, and then my destiny was, I guess, through going through certain paths, and then I find the commonality of amongst the very cores of dogmas with in belief systems. And that's which I think what you hit on is within all of us, that ancient code, which isn't within all of us. We're all so connected, we don't realize that we have all this information within us. Some people ask me, how do you know this stuff? And some of the stuff I don't even, you know, it just comes out, not even from researching a book or anything. And I'll find something, they'll go, that sounds like something in some science stuff. And I've never read that in some science. It just sort of popped out of me, you know what I mean? And I think it's just not me. It's just that everybody has this information in them. And if as you try to reconnect within yourself, your true self within your which is in your heart, and connecting with the universe, there's a plethora of information at our disposal and it's there for us to grow and heal from, I personally think. So,
well, if I could just say that, I think the essence of the ancient code is summed up in two words, and they are truth and nature. Because we're talking about the Holy Grail there, and really, as your listeners would find out if they happen to watch this film by it and have a look at it, they're going to find that the Holy Grail, as far as the ancient code is concerned, is nature, and trying to become as one with nature. I know this sounds kind of all sort of rope sandals and tree hugging and stuff, but it's much more profound than that, because we must not put our own templates on nature. We must allow nature to be what it is and adapt ourselves to nature rather than the other way around. Because, as you also mentioned earlier, the only people that ever got this right were the shamans. The only people that ever got it absolutely right, they understood, and they still understand. And the horn dance that I mentioned earlier on, this is another example of shamanism, I'm absolutely sure it is. Because the people who do understand, who do remember what the horn dance is about and what it represents, believe me, they get really, really angry when you ask them questions about it, because they are so involved with it that they regard this dance, this ritual, this festival, this rite as something intensely personal. And they guard it as a mother would guard the child. So people actually watch this dance. If people start laughing or sniggering at it, which they do, of course, because it's in the nature of things, people will laugh at what they don't understand. But these guys really get pissed. Trust me, they do. They get really angry about it. And they will actually, they'll either stop the dance or they'll ask the people to leave, because to them they're disrespecting nature, they're disrespecting their mother, if you will. So really, what the Holy Grail is, it's about a mixture of truth and accepting nature and becoming as one with nature. Because unless we do, we're all dead and we're doomed and we're off this planet completely forever.
But don't you think it's more than likely that, because I believe everybody's going to have choice, and I think that there's going to be a lot of people, either within now or toward the near future or whatever, going to reconnect with their ancient code. And then there's others who will be so fearful from it that they're, you know, they won't be able to survive on this planet. And then there's some people who are just basically go nuts from trying to deal with it. As I had somebody in a recent guest who had mentioned that before on a different subject, but it seems like the same thing. Do you feel it's going to be it's not a calamity for everybody. It's a calamity for the people who do not choose to, as they say, they say in Israel, by the way, because I used to live there for about 6 years, they say, be a Bedouin, you'll always survive. Oh, excuse me, live your life as a Bedouin and you'll always survive, meaning you adapt to your environment, to your the surroundings, to the earth around you, your circumstances. And it seems that those people who don't want to adapt and embrace for what they really are, and that's what you're talking about, the ancient code within us, then they will have their choice of going to another direction, God forbid, but that's unfortunately their choice. Is that what basically you're trying to present?
Well, that's just about it, because as I also said at the beginning, and I can't stress this enough, is that the ancient code wrote your DNA program. That's where it came from. And all this came from somewhere in this microscopic singularity at the Big Bang. So this information is in us. This information will see us through if we just listen to it, because it whispers to us all the time. It tries to keep us on the right track. But the thing is, people have become so bogged down with materialism, as I said, that they've made the wealthy, they've made celebrities into their gods. I mean, the thing's absolutely crazy. I don't know, what can you say? Jennifer Aniston puts on 2 grams in weight, so entire economies collapse. You know, people have got into this mindset that what these people actually represent is actually worthwhile, when in effect all it is rampant materialism and the love and the need for money and possessions and wealth, when in reality nature will take care of you if you let it, and it'll take care of you in a very, very wonderful fashion. I mean, the shamans have been doing it for millennia. They live at one with nature. They don't try and fight nature. They go with it, and that way it makes it so much easier. And that is the only way we're going to survive this. And this is what the ancient code is trying to tell us to do. It's trying to adapt us to do it. And this is why I say it is trying to make us evolve. It's trying to kickstart our DNA to stop us evolving into the type of human being we're going to have to be to live on a planet that's very, very much different than we have it now. Because we can't save the planet. It's too far gone. Supposing all the industrialized countries and all the third world countries that are starting to step up a gear, like China, like India, these guys aren't going to stop now. They want what we have, and they're not going to stop till they get it. Now, the argument used to be, even regarding food supply in the world today, now, take it that in India, just say, for a figure, these are just rough figures, that these people have $1 a day in which to live, okay, to buy their food. Now, 5 years down the line, they're going to have $5 a day, and they're going to want the food that goes with those $5. So in other words, food is going to become an absolutely a commodity that is literally the stuff of life, along with water and fresh air. So wars are going to be getting fought about food production. And what we're going to have to look at, and the code is going to take care of this for us, because what they're going to have to do is to depopulate. In other words, the world cannot keep expanding and expanding and expanding in sheer population density, because it just doesn't have the landmass to feed them. So consequently, something's going to have to happen, and the code will make it happen. Because even suppose it starts reducing fertility rates, it will do it if we don't, because it has to survive itself. It is our survival mechanism. The code is our survival mechanism. The code ties us directly to the planet itself. And unless we can survive and adapt, the planet will die, and the planet and the code won't let that happen. It was sooner that we thinned ourselves out and gave ourselves a breathing space to give the planet a breathing space. This is what the code is all about. So if your listeners can actually go out and buy a copy of the Ancient Code, the movie, they'll find this is what is actually getting said to them, that we are the Ancient Code, we are the Holy Grail, and nature is our saviour. Now, whether we like it or not, or whether we find it a bit hokey or not, is immaterial. That is a fact. That is the truth. Now, I've spent my entire life looking for truth, if you like, in whichever form it happens to come. Now, it's only in the past, 18 months, a year or so, since I actually got involved in the Ancient Code project, that a lot of my hypotheses and various theories have actually come together. And I realized that in a roundabout way, this is what I've been searching for through the many books that I've written, through the scripts that I've written, through the TV programs I've made, the radio shows I've done, that each each of these separate items contained one little bit of the jigsaw. And it wasn't until the ancient codes came along that I suddenly realized I saw how the pieces all fit together. And now that they fit together, it makes my way ahead so much easier. And I'm sure it would make those of your listeners a lot easier as well, you know.
So, because we have to start tailing off my show right now, but what can you tell once again? First, I want to thank you, Brian, for coming on my show. But can you tell everybody again, once again, how they can get hold of your movie?
Yeah, sure. If you go to the website www.ancientcode.com, that'll give you the address of Reality Entertainment, who actually produced the movie. Or you can go to the realityentertainment.com website itself and get it from there. And I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon. It's in most of the big stores. And it can be ordered at ancientcode.com. And it's produced by Reality Entertainment and directed by Philip Gardner. And if they can take on board that information, they'll be able to get it. Because trust me, it's made a difference to my life. And I'm pretty sure it'll make a difference to theirs too.
Well, Alan, again, thank you for coming on my show. It's been a pleasure, and I must say, highly, highly informative. Again, everybody out there, you've got to check out his movie. It's very fascinating, eye-opening for many, and some things more into actually reestablish what maybe we've always known. And with that, I wish you everybody, God bless you all, and I'm going to be closing with a very special song from a future guest that will be coming on down the line, or trying to coordinate something, possibly maybe doing in your studio, hopefully even. Anyway, they're called the California Girls, and it's called Wedge at the Pipeline. And thank you, God bless you all, and take care. Thank you, Brian, for coming on my show.
Thank you very much, and take care of yourself, man.